to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, and then vanishes away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. That's our three verses tonight. And again, I want to say that this is our first Wednesday night service of the new year. And I couldn't have thought of anything more fitting to talk about than life itself and how delicate it is as we start this new year, being the first Wednesday night. Life is very delicate, and life, as we know, can be challenging, and life can be good as well. All kinds of thoughts when it comes to the subject of life. But saying that, I want to call your attention to verse number 15, where it says, for that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. I want to use this verse and the statement in this verse tonight as my title. And that statement is this: the Lord willing. The Lord willing. That's the title tonight. The Lord willing. As we start this new year, let us all remember to, I'm preaching to the choir tonight, to include God in our decision making. And so that thought process is going to be the main focus of the message tonight, is the subject of the Lord willing. Just including God in the equation. Three things in these three verses I'm going to point out. This is going to be familiar ground for everyone, I'm sure, but it bears to be repeated from time to time. In verse number 13, I want you to notice, he says, go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. The first thing I want to mention concerning this subject of the Lord willing is, do not make plans without God. Do not make plans without God. I do want you to notice that James does not forbid us to make plans. He just simply says, go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain. He doesn't forbid plan making. Of course, we know he drops down in verse number 15. He says, for that he ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this and do that. Tonight, the Bible is clear that planning is a good thing. And planning for the future is a very wise thing to do. So James isn't forbidding planning. He just wants us to include God in the equation. Now, hold your place here. Turn, if you would, to Proverbs chapter number 6 for a moment. Again, the Bible is very clear that that planning is a very wise thing for us to do. Proverbs chapter number 6. Notice in verse number 6. He talks about the ant. He says, go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways. Be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth. Thou want as an armed man. And so back in verse number 6, 7, and 8, we see that the writer is pointing to that of a sluggard. He says, "Oh, sluggard, I want you to pay attention to this ant. Because this ant is planning. This ant is going out and getting food and filling up its food supply. For because there's going to be a time where there isn't going to be any food to get. So the ant is being very wise here and is planning. Go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise. Which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer, and gathereth her food in the harvest." And so we see that the Bible is all about planning. At least it's illustrated here with this ant. Now, Proverbs 21, verse number 5. Proverbs 21, in verse 5. Listen to this. "The thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteousness, but of everyone that is hasty, only to want." Again, he's talking about the diligent. He's talking about those who plan. They are very wise in doing so. And he says, "The thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteousness." And so being diligent in planning and being wise, the end result of that is having what you need. Then he says, "But of everyone that is hasty, only to want." Talk about the person who just makes a hasty decision off the cuff, dealing with emotions and make a decision based upon how you feel. So it tells us here in essence to not make any hasty decisions, and it tells us though to be diligent in working. And so we see that the Bible is definitely clear concerning planning. Those who plan are wise. Now Jesus not only taught us about planning, but Jesus also taught us about budgeting. Luke chapter number 14 for a moment. Look at the Bible drill. We'll settle down in a minute. Luke chapter number 14, and in verse number 28 we have the parable of the tower. Now listen to what he says in Luke 14, verse number 28. "For which of you intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it?" He's talking about more or less budgeting here. The person that wants to start a project, the person who wants to create something monumental in their life, they need to first sit down and make sure you've got enough to pay for it. And he goes on and he says, verse number 29, "Lest happily after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that beheld it began to mock him, saying, This man began to build and was not able to finish." Let me say tonight that this isn't the case for everyone, but when planning and budgeting is not in the equation, when you're making decisions, and they're hasty decisions, they may be a hasty decision, you don't plan, you don't budget, the Bible says that it's going to be a monument of basically disgrace. He said, because people saw as you started, and now you were not able to finish, and all that beheld it began to mock, saying, "This man began to build and was not able to finish." So tonight, the Bible deals a great deal with budgeting and planning. And so when we go to make decisions and we live our life, let us not only plan and budget, but include the Lord in the equation as well. And back to the book of James. I'm trying to build my case here. Book of James, chapter number 4. "Do not make plans without God." Again, we're saying that James does not forbid us to make plans. He wants us. The Bible's clear about making plans. So the question is, why did James rebuke the readers on making plans? city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. So why does if they're planning, why does James rebuke them? Well, it's very simple. Because they're not including God. While planning is part of it, we plan things in our life. We plan our careers and we plan our retirement, hopefully. But if we don't include God in the equation, it's just planning. It's just doing something we want to do. And so James, he rebukes his readers because they're making plans without God being in the equation. They didn't ask for guidance. They didn't ask for direction. They didn't ask for approval. They ignored God in their daily activities. Now keep in mind, James is addressing Christians in this book. And these are Christians who are planning, verse 13, they're buying and selling and gaining. Verse number 14, James begins to talk about life and how short life is. And then verse number 15, he says, we ought to say the Lord willing. Meaning we ought to include God in the equation. Verse 15, for that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. Again, what he's saying in verse 15 is, ask God for guidance. Ask God for direction. Don't just set out to the wild blue yonder doing what you want to do without asking God for approval. And so James tonight, he rebukes his readers not for making plans, but for not including God in the equation. Listen to this. Someone said one time, the biggest fool is not the man that says there is no God, but the man who says there is a God, then doesn't add him to the equation. So the biggest fool is not the man that says there is no God, but the man who says there is a God, but doesn't live like it. Doesn't live like there's a God. That's the biggest fool. So tonight we see that we're to not make plans without the Lord. Now, I want to mention another thing. That's verse number 13, not make plans without the Lord. But in verse number 14, the second thing, we're to not be overconfident in our life. Let me explain. So we know that James rebuked the people who thought they had control over their lives. They were planning and going to buy, we're going to go sell and get great gain. And we see that James rebuked them because they did not acknowledge the Lord in the equation. And so these people honestly believed that everything would go as planned. It doesn't say that, but because of their planning and not adding the Lord in the equation, that's what they're thinking. These people, these Christian people, actually believed that everything would go as they planned. These people believed that they could plan their lives over the span of a year when they had no control over their next 5 minutes. Look at verse 13 again. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year. They actually believed that they would go there and spend all of that time and but yet, on the same token, they're not promised the next 5 minutes. And so we see this confidence here that's really not godly. They're not including God in the equation at all. And yet these people, they believe that everything would go as planned. And so James begins to remind us in verse number 14 that life is uncertain and short. Says in verse number 14, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. And so that's the uncertainty of life. We don't know what tomorrow holds. Proverbs 27 in verse number 1 says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. And so tomorrow is not promised, as you know. And so James And then in verse number 14, not only life is uncertain, there's no guarantee of tomorrow, but life is short. He says, it is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. It's like that pot of water on the stove that's boiling. And the hotter it gets, it starts to have a little mini smoke cloud, little vapors coming off of that hot water boiling. And you see it for 1 second. And the very next second, it's gone. And so when he says it's even as a vapor, it's even life, he said, is a mist. It's here one moment and it's gone the next. And so I believe one of the main reasons James is nailing down on this subject of making sure God's in the equation, because you can be in the wrong place at the right at the wrong time. We can make decisions and do things without God's approval, and because of how short and uncertain life is, we could definitely waste life. And so we see how short life is in verse number 14. It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, then vanishes away. We see how uncertain life is in this verse. Now, Luke chapter number 12 for just a moment, trying to extend the thought process on the shortness and uncertainty of life. Luke chapter number 12, there's the story of the rich farmer. The rich farmer. Now listen to this, verse number 16. And this parable of the rich farmer is basically the Christian people that James is addressing in chapter number 4 of James. Luke chapter number 12 and verse 16. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. There will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. Look at verse 19. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. He's kind of taking for granted and not really thinking through that he's going to have many years. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. In verse 20. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? And so this rich farmer said, I'm going to build bigger barns. I'm going to fill those barns. I got plenty for many years. And God's telling him, you fool, you're going to pass away tonight. And your stuff is going to be left behind for somebody to take over. In this parable, we see that life is uncertain. Life is short. Back to the book of James, we see that these James is addressing is they're talking about go. They have a plan. They're going. They're continuing a year in a certain city. They're going to buy and sell and get gain, and that's fine. But they did not include God in the equation. They did not understand the shortness of life. Verse 14, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Just stay with me. I know it sounds like we're talking about planning and we're talking about being careful to add God in the equation. But there's something else I'm leading up to that I want to mention that I think will be a help to all of us. There are indications that these people that made plans here in James 4 without God and were overconfident these overconfident people about life? Well, in verse number 6, notice in verse number 6 of chapter 4, James warns them. He says in verse number 6, "But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble." James warns them in verse number 6 of being prideful and being arrogant. Verse number 10, James admonishes them. He says, "Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up." And then in verse number 16, James rebukes them. He says, "But now ye rejoice in your boastings. Oh, I'm going to go and buy, sell, and get great gain. I always have tomorrow. We're going to be there a year and make a lot of money." He says, "But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." And so these people, if they were not including God in the equation, and they went on to do what they wanted to do, they actually will be out of the will of God and living in sin. It is so, so important to make sure God is leading in any direction, because we're one step this way out of the will of God and one step this way out of the will of God. But our thought process should be verse number 15, "For that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that." And so he's addressing these overconfident Christians who are not including God in the equation. Let us all have a humble approach to life, which would be including Jesus in our plans, asking him for approval and guidance. Let us plan with the understanding. Listen to this. Let us plan with the understanding that we don't have complete control over our lives. Let us make room. Get this if you don't get anything else. Let us make room for the sovereignty of God as we plan and do things. And I believe ultimately that's what he's getting at here. Make your plans. Understand how short life is. But on the same token, have the mindset, if God is willing, we will be there a year. If God is willing, we'll buy and sell and get gain. That's what he's getting at. And because we know that in Scripture in general, from Genesis to Revelation, we know that plans don't always go as the way they're planned. In your life and mine, I'm sure we can give testimony tonight of how many times we've made plans, and yet somewhere along the way, something would happen, whether it was our fault or not, something would happen and derail those plans. I get upset, I used to, let me just say, more then than I do now about when our plans, me and Christy Lilly, our plans get broke, something happens. But the older I get spiritually and the more of life I experience, I began to understand that there's a sovereign God that doesn't always allow our plans to go through.
Amen.
We're to plan. We're to pray. We're to ask God for permission, his guidance, and all of that. But even at that, and in the midst of our planning and doing what we feel we're supposed to do, we have to understand that and give room for God to move and God to work. So many times in life, things happen, and I'm sure there's empty pews here because of how that they thought life was supposed to go for them. And something happened. Someone died. Someone got cancer. Lost a job. And the plan didn't go as according to how they planned it to go. And they're blaming God for it. You've heard stories like that. Just like I've heard stories like that. When life is good, people thank God. But when life is bad, some people blame God. If anything, I'm trying to say tonight, I'm trying to get to this point. When we plan our goings, our comings and goings, when it doesn't go accordingly, you know, you're not wiped out, you're not discouraged, you're not depressed. Yeah, you're probably hurt. Yeah, your ego is bruised, and you don't like what's going on, but you know you've been looking for interrupted plans. And I think tonight James is getting at that. He is getting at the preeminence of Christ, the first place of Christ. He's wanting them to put Christ first, acknowledge Him, and allow Him to do the guiding and directing. All right. Let me mention one more thing, and we pretty much have landed right on it. Verse 15. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. Number 3, do not forget, again, we've been saying the whole lesson, do not forget to consider Him. Include Jesus in life's equations. If tomorrow gets here, I will do what I plan to do with God's help and guidance. If tomorrow gets here, I'll do what I plan with God's help. If those plans do not come to pass, then God has other plans. And it all just bears down to that, pulls down to that. If tomorrow gets here, I'll rise up, I'll go and assume my responsibilities, I'll be asking for God's help and God's guidance. But if I rise up in the very, I even hate to say it, in the very worst news of my life comes to my ears, I know there's a sovereign God who's allowing interruption to my plans. I hate even saying it because it seems like the times I say stuff like that, it happens. But it's truth tonight. The Lord wants us to keep Him in the middle of everything. He wants to be the centerpiece as we plan our life around everything. And what greater blessing it is to walk and to live and to assume your responsibilities day by day, knowing you've inquired of the Lord, knowing you've asked for His guidance, knowing that you're stepping out in faith and trust to Him, and if it falls apart, then you know that it's God's will. But the scary thing is when we don't include Him in the plans, and we go and we do things without asking Him, Lord, are you a part of this? And then it falls apart. That is a scary place to be. I would rather be in a scary place where my faith is stretched, knowing I've included God, than being in a scary place when I didn't include God. Don't forget to consider Him. Don't make plans without Him. Don't be overconfident in life. And so James is saying, what we ought to say is this, that we ought to say, verse 15, if the Lord will, we shall live